Cofield and Company is at Pizza Rock inside Green Valley Ranch.
It's just been turning.
Woo! I'm not having a good day. As a matter of fact, I am having a very bad day.
I'm just trying to do my job, sir.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
It is Cofield and Company on this Thursday out here at Pizza Rock. Usually our spots for football. We are also out here during the hockey season. Your spot for VGK hockey. They are in action tonight down in South Florida playing the Panthers. Get on out here. Check out the game. Steve Cofield along in just a few minutes. I'm Adam Hill. Lots to get into today. NBA trade deadline, of course, big news. Some movement, some guys who didn't move. We'll get into that a little bit. Some UNLV basketball from last night. Of course, we'll address the Golden Knights. As we said, they have a game tonight. I also had an interesting day myself. For some reason, somebody must have made a mistake. They asked me to come speak to a college class. And I just kind of stood there and looked at them and said, what do you guys want to know? I had nothing. I feel like you should prepare something in situations like that. But as everyone knows, I'm incredibly awkward. I have no idea what I'm doing. And I just kind of stood there and looked at them. And it was very weird for everyone involved, as I expected it to be. But I blame whoever it was that asked me to come out there and speak to classes. That's just not a good idea. Nobody needs that. Nobody wants that. And I will say, if any of them are listening, because I told them, hey, listen, check out the show. I don't know why. If you're listening, I'm sorry. I ruined your day. You could have spent much better time on college campus somehow besides listening to my nonsense and idiocy. But it was cool to be out there, and I appreciated it. It was a good time. Better time for the NBA, I guess, though, with trade deadline here. And there's some movement and some guys that are not happy about moving. We'll get into some of that as we go along. But Steve Cofield is here. What's up, man?
Yes, I showed up.
Well, you were here. You were just listening to my nonsense.
I let you finish your whatever that was.
Would you ever ask me to speak to a college class? Wouldn't it be buyer beware?
It's a tough call. I think you have a lot of knowledge to impart, but you're not a great role model.
No, not at all. I almost said some really dumb, bad things, too.
How many times did you stop yourself?
About seven.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah. Yes.
It's pretty strong.
Yeah, I censored.
So NBA trade deadline today. I didn't think a whole lot went down. I think there are interesting moves and interesting non-moves. One, I'm not sure what the Thunder are supposed to do. My first instinct is stick to the plan. Now, I don't know if anyone wanted Chris Paul or, you know, it's just a straight salary dump somewhere. I don't know how you'd make it work, but we haven't talked a lot about the Thunder and the way the season has gone.
It's a weird season.
This wasn't the way it was supposed to go. They stockpiled all these picks, and they're good.
Yeah, that's the problem.
They didn't want to be good.
No, there was no intention of being good. The plan was to stockpile picks, as you said, to get Chris Paul, who would be worth something to somebody. You can get some more assets for him and build to the future. But the problem is, we talk about this in all sports, you know, at some times, the plan sometimes falls apart. I believe you still stick to the plan.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty rare when you're trying to tank that the team actually shocks you and is freaking good. And the other thing that is killing, it's so weird because OKC is having a good season, is killing OKC's plans is that the bottom of the West is not real good. You know, teams 9 through 12 just aren't as good as we thought they'd be. So you've got OKC management in this weird position. I mean, I will say some of the deals they made for the actual players they got, I can't say ripoff, but the fact that Gilgeous Alexander is this good.
Yeah.
Like this far ahead of schedule. Remember, he's the guy who went from the Clippers as part of the deal with Paul George. The whole thing's bizarre. So Chris Paul, we thought, was going to be on like a 20-win team and be completely miserable, but the Thunder are good. So today they didn't deal Chris Paul. They didn't try to tank more, and I guess they're just going to roll the dice and, hey, hopefully we get someone good at whatever pick they have, you know, 17.
Aren't they already over their season win total? I think they're at least over it, or at least very close. They're better than expected, but you do get into a spot where you have to make that decision. My thought process, if I'm the Thunder, would be to look and say, hey, our plan was to tank, to stockpile a bunch of picks. We have this asset that somebody could want. And as you mentioned, maybe they tried and it just didn't work because nobody wanted him.
I will say, Adam, I'm looking at their haul of picks. Most of them are down the road. So they still have time to try to suck.
Sure.
They still have time to – and a lot of it's relying on other teams. And that's the problem when you tank. You don't know what the other teams are going to do. They're owed a 2020 first-round draft pick from Denver. All right, well, Denver's good.
Yeah.
And by the way, I will not go through all of the protection status because a lot of these picks may not come until, like, literally 2028. Let's see, a second-round pick from Chicago, a first-round pick in 2021 from Miami and or Houston. What?
Okay. And or?
2022 first-round pick from the Clippers, 2023 first-round pick from the Clippers, 2023 first-round pick from Miami, 2024 first-round pick from Houston, 2024 first-round pick from the Clippers, 2025. God, how long does this go? 2026. They have two. They already have two listed extra first-round picks in 2026. So I guess they're not in a hurry to stink, but they're gonna have to. They're gonna have to root for other teams to stink. So the Clippers and the Rockets and Miami better be bad at some point.
I think the bottom line is, if I'm the Thunder, I at least try to trade them.
Right.
I at least try. Like, that was the plan. And we have this argument all the time, so we don't have to go too deep into it, but you're not winning.
They're not going to win the title.
You're not winning the title.
Yeah.
And you're probably not making a super deep run in the playoffs either. What is the point of finishing sixth and going to the playoffs? I guess maybe a small reward for your fans because you might be tanking next year. So maybe you can make that argument. But to me, like, if I'm a fan, I prefer to follow through with the plan, to stockpile as many picks you can, to see if you can get something for Chris Paul, and then to make those moves and to continue setting up for the future. But they just got in this weird spot where they're in a playoff position.
Hey, I'm not going to hammer them until we get official word on what was going on around Chris Paul. Like, if there were offers, if it was nothing, if they even tried, if they didn't try. So let's let whoever, Woj or BBW, Big Brian Windhorst, come out with some more news, or Chris Broussard.
What does it say about Paul if there wasn't interest? I think that would be a pretty...
There should be. I mean, he's part of the reason they've exceeded expectations by, you know, probably end of the season, 15, 18 wins.
That's what I'm saying. He's playing so much better than people thought he would.
Yeah.
And yet...
Well, it's a salary deal. This all goes back to when... Didn't we get on Chris Paul for costing the Rockets a chance to be a little bit better and really compete for a title by taking $40, $42, $44 million a year? And again, we say it all the time. We're pro players. Make all the money you can. But you do make certain decisions in a salary cap sport that could hurt your team, that could hamstring your team.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. And now it's preventing him from being moved to a real contender.
But along those lines, like, if you are a guy like Chris Paul – who now finds yourself in a position where your team is good, but it's not really elite, you're not competing for a title, you're just kind of there, you can look back and say, was it worth it to sign that contract? Was that contract worth it to be, you know, in purgatory, essentially?
God, there's so much going on today. We got UNLV basketball coming up at 3:45. We're going to talk some local logistics issues, roads, stadiums, zoning with Tick Siegerbloom, one of the Clark County commissioners. Again, that's at 3:30. I try not to ever bring up J.J. Watt on the show because I know it just becomes really uncomfortable. You don't like him.
I ruined your trip the other day.
He's a weird guy. You sent me a link, and I'm like, why would you do that? I'm like, I'm not watching the rest of this. But you know what? Then he got me. J.J. Watt sent out a thing yesterday, I think trying to be funny on Twitter, ripping on The Bachelor.
Because
questioning the entertainment value of The Bachelor, and I get it. You know, there are a lot of people who think the show is stupid, but there are many who
love.
Oh, and he did one on SNL.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, this SNL, this open.
I have to listen?
We're gonna do it, but this has to be one of the worst all-time opening monologues. I mean, clearly it's written for him, but the lack of timing, and you could just hear from the audience, are like, what? Are these jokes? J.J. Watt.
You see, the Texans are a football team. Football is the sport with the helmets. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't think I'd need to explain that, but the writers backstage seemed super confused. So there you go.
But that was a joke?
Yes.
So this monologue is so bad. No, I've said before.
I think if you kill, the more you kill it, though, I think people are going to try to give it a chance.
But did you hear that? Like that, I didn't. I was waiting for the joke, and then people laughed because they were like, "Wait, is that it? Yeah. Was that the joke?" No, I've said.
I think there's a lot of uncomfortable and then supportive laughter as it goes along.
I attended SNL live once. It was one of the worst episodes in the history of the show. There was reasons for it. There was a blizzard. Manhattan was closed. I think they didn't even think they were going to do a show until like 20 minutes before it started. It was awful. And it was a sports guest. It was Ronda Rousey in that case. This might have been up there with one of the worst episodes of all time, mostly because of this. And I do have a theory that he must be a real jerk, because I think that he showed up and they were like, hey, do this monologue. Here's some jokes. And they were so bad. And they usually would have written a new monologue, or they would have written like a new open. Where you're not going to stand there and tell jokes, but I think they're like, you jerk, you go out there and bomb.
Keep bombing, JJ.
When I found out that I was going to be hosting SNL, I told some of my teammates. And not to fulfill a stereotype, but at least half of them asked me, what day do they tape that? I mean, dude, it's Saturday Night Live. How the hell am I supposed to know? I don't work there.
Adam, the crowd loves it. I don't think you know comedy.
Yeah,
comedies
but,
are.
Okay, first of all, I do. And I will also say, that was probably by far his best joke and best delivery.
Even though he said Saturday Night Live.
I know.
Keep going, J.J. Watt, SNL.
Football is kind of the family business. I have two brothers who are also in the NFL. Our names are J.J., T.J., and for some reason, Derek. I don't know if that means my parents loved him more or loved him less, but it definitely means it's different.
That's a joke? Where's the joke? What is happening right
now? That's like a cheesy few lines around some friends at a dinner party. It's not national TV, SNL. It's bad.
No.
It's bad. It's sympathy laughter.
We told the story of my dad going around Iowa telling the same joke to all the candidates.
Now your dad's joke is so much funnier.
I feel like my dad's awful comedy is better than J.J. Watt's.
And your dad's not a natural.
No, I'll give my dad that. SNL.
Should we close with a bang?
If you can find one, I don't think you can.
No, I'm telling this one actually hit well.
People always ask my parents, how did they manage to get three boys into the NFL? And personally, I think it was their parenting style. For example, if we were ever fighting over Super Nintendo, my mom would take the controller, throw it down into the basement, turn off the lights, blast some Metallica, and say, whoever brings that back to me gets to play next. Nah.
That's not long.
It's not a joke, guys. It's not a joke.
Not a joke.
That's what we did. Why do you think my nose is so messed up?
Look, laughter after laughter after laughter. On the way back, we will present the Kelce brothers. Now, these are the kind of guys from the NFL who should be a focal point of many TV shows like SNL.
The Three is brought to you by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call today at 577-2600 to receive a $500 coupon towards your appraisal or any purchase or refinance. Dial up Dustin now. 577-2600.
My brothers are both big guys, too. My mom gave birth to a lineman, a fullback, and a linebacker. Yeah, ouch, right? I know. After that, my dad said they were done having kids, but my mom really wanted to try for a kicker. You know, someone she could dress up and buy cute clothes for.
The Golden Knights take on the Panthers tonight. And Pizza Rock Green Valley Ranch has the game on.
Yep, game's on the 80-inch big screen TVs in about 45 minutes. 4 o'clock puck drop. It is the Panthers hosting your Vegas Golden Knights. You come in with your VGK gear, you get a free beer. Happy hour is up. $4 is where the food and drink starts, including Adam's favorite, the meatballs. J.J. Watt, highly entertaining NFL character, really did well on SNL. I'm sure the skits were a little bit better than the monologue, or maybe not. I don't know. It was uncomfortable. I don't know if this was uncomfortable, but it was entertaining. I think some people may have been like, dude, what character or voice are you doing? The Chiefs parade and ceremony after the parade was awesome when Travis Kelce got up there. Let's give you a little bit of the tight end Travis Kelce.
How about that? I'm going to walk this wall. How about 21 years? Y'all know what that means? Everybody here is thinking, oh, that's when I can, you know what I mean, legally get a drink. Yeah. No, 21 years. That's how long it's just been turning for my guy Andy Reid. It's just been turning and turning and turning. And what we do, we unleash a can of whoop-ass for everybody.
That was 1,000. I can't even put a number how much better that was than J.J. Watt. But what? Who is he?
It definitely seems like some pro wrestler character. I don't know what he's doing.
Is he part of the Nation of Domination?
Maybe. It's definitely funnier than Watt. It's not even close.
You know what? I stood around as our vast sound department pulled that, and the line about 21 and drinking, I didn't get it until this is now the fifth time I've heard it. I finally got it. I was like, oh, that's drinking age.
Yeah. How did you not get that? You were just too distracted by the rest of the craziness? I mean, I feel like it could have been just a horrible Macho Man impression.
Oh, I don't think that was Macho Man.
I mean, I just think it was a terrible impression that we don't even know what it is. It could be something we don't even know.
More Travis Kelce.
24-0. I ain't trying to hear it. Down 10. I ain't trying to hear it. Fourth quarter. 6 and whatever left on the clock. Down 10. We got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, baby. How about Sammy Watkins? Woo! How about Damian Williams? Woo!
No, it's Ric Flair.
How about my dog, 5'5", and he ain't off sides? What's good?
What's good?
Is he having a good time?
Was he driving the car that got spun out?
I mean,
and then they're like, just get out and go do a speech.
Makes sense. That was a mess in every great way. That's how you're supposed to celebrate a title. That's how you do it. Just shouting people out, screaming, wooing. That's how you get it done.
Was that better than his brother? What do you think? Do you remember Jason? Eagles win. He gets up there as like, I don't know, some sort of sultan. And then, but the weird part, I don't know if I want to play this again, because the weird part about his speech is he was trying to lay out like how disrespected the Eagles were and their underdogs, but all he did was just rip on all his teammates. Like I got what he was doing, but you're like, wow, I didn't even know that about that guy and that he was ripped for that. Here's his brother, Jason Kelce, a couple of years ago, bringing the energy.
Jay and John can't stay healthy. Torrey Smith can't catch. Nelson Aguilar can't catch. Zach Ertz can't block. Brent Celek's too old. Randy Graham was drafted too high. Vinny Curry ain't got it. Mo Allen can't fit the scheme. Michael Thomas can't fit the scheme. Nigel Bradham can't catch. Jalen Mills can't cover.
A lot of guys can't catch. He did nail it on Nelson Aguilar.
Nelson Aguilar can't catch. But that's
that was quite clairvoyant. We're actually just pointing out a real issue that didn't get fixed.
I don't think he was joking. I think he was actually pointing out the flaws of the team going forward. I mean, I'm going to go.
I love those guys.
I'm going to go get
them together on SNL now.
10-9 Travis.
Jason was pretty good. He did a whole thing on Howie Roseman, the guy running the organization, about how he was like basically Milton from Office Space, like thrown in the back corner and came out a different man. And
it's my stapler.
Yeah.
It's good. That's quality celebration right there. That family knows how to party, much more than the Watts.
I don't know.
His name's Derek, I guess. I mean, it's different. It was so bad. I go, the Kelces are so much better than the Watts. It's not even close. That is a brother knockout.
Is there another weird story that's come out where old school sports fans, and I'll count myself amongst them, at least on this topic, old school sports fans will get on athletes for hugging it out after a super intense game or rivalry. What exactly went down with Damian Williams and Raheem Mostert, and now Williams is like, eh.
So,
or is it the other way around? Is it Mostert? Who's the one? Who's trying to turn back the clock a little bit?
Williams.
Okay.
So after the game, Raheem Mostert was devastated. He was in the tunnel crying. And before Damian Williams went to celebrate with his teammates, he actually chased down Raheem Mostert.
Oh, no.
And
Mean
like,
Joe Green
him.
Moment?
He consoled him.
Was it Mean Joe Green?
Not quite. I mean, he didn't like share a Coke and like it wasn't like that, but it was in the tunnel.
Thanks, Mean Joe!
It was in the tunnel, and he was consoling him.
I don't know if that's what the kid
said. And then Damian Williams took off his jersey in a clear attempt to say, hey, let's trade jerseys. They traded jerseys. It was a very cool moment after the Super Bowl until Raheem Mostert, Damian Williams went home, and his mother was like, where's that jersey? It's very valuable. You just had one of the best games in the Super Bowl. You won your team the championship. Where's the jersey? And he's like, I traded it to somebody.
No.
So this story got out. Raheem Mostert heard about it and essentially was like, you know what? I'm going to put this out there. If he wants to trade back, we can trade back. I understand. It's a very valuable jersey. So it looks like they're going to work toward trading it back. But that's a tough spot. When you do something like super nice, you're like, you know what? We've shared the field together. That was cool. Take my jersey. And then you realize, like, oh, man, mine's a little more valuable than his is.
Thinking that one through. Emotional spot.
I might want that thing back. Raheem Mostert posted on Twitter that he was contemplating just putting it on eBay. But then he put the laughing emoji. He said if he wants it back, he can have it.
ESPN Las Vegas.
Hey, Raiders on three. 1, 2, 3.
Raiders.
Home of the Raiders fan. Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Pizza Rock, Green Valley Ranch on this Thursday. Cofield, Adam Hill. Got Golden Knights hockey in Florida at 4 o'clock on all the big screens here. All right, let's talk about our stadium, some other issues around Clark County, the Las Vegas Strip. Tick Siegelblum, one of the Clark County finishers, nice enough to join us here on this Thursday. How are you, sir?
Great. How are you guys?
We are good. We are fired up. We have a lot of questions about the stadium and the process of growing the area around the stadium. I just wanted to get your thoughts on what you think is going to be coming down the pike around that stadium.
Well, obviously, the property has gone up in value tremendously, and so we'll just have to kind of see how that plays out as far as what's the best use. But I saw an article that said that there was a question about some of the topless bars having to move out, and that seems to be reasonable. Although, what are people going to do when there's no football? You got to have topless bars, right?
Well, you say it's reasonable. I don't. I think you're being sarcastic there. is there any way that you guys can force businesses out of that area?
Absolutely. Well, those type of businesses, we can't force the construction companies and things like that. But anything with a privileged license, we can, you know, make it so they would want to move. But hopefully the land becomes so valuable they would have to find a better use for it anyway, if that's something. But I'm not sure, truthfully, if that's incompatible with that area. I mean, there aren't going to be like games every day. And truth is, there's a lot of construction jobs around there, a lot of contractors' facilities. So we'll have to kind of play it out and see.
I mean, is there anything to, if the NFL tried to make a move and say, you know, put some pressure on local government to make these things happen, is there anything to kind of taking a stand against the NFL now and just saying, like, hey, we're not going to let you dictate everything?
Well, if they try to get rid of the marijuana dispensaries, I would say that's true. But, you know, again, I don't know topless bars, if that's a good use or a bad use. So I would have to know more about what the NFL wants, but the reality is they can't dictate everything to us. So if they were the ones motivating us, then we should definitely question why they want to do that. And remember, this is Las Vegas. We have naked girls on the back of our public buses, so it's not like having a topless bar in some anywhere is going to be incompatible with how we operate.
Right. Can you expound upon your thoughts on dispensaries eventually being down there? Because I'm sure that is going to be a bit of a battle.
Well, there's already one right there, and I think the owner is looking forward to and taking advantage of that location. So, it's from my perspective, it's certainly compatible. And when they start doing big concerts, I mean, what could be better? So it's inevitable, I think.
And from a Clark County resident standpoint, part of having the dispensaries here, one of the great benefits is the tax revenue. And I'm not sure that you can pitch the Clark County residents that we're going to have less dispensaries in a certain area. Like, we need that tax revenue, do we not?
Right. And that's the kind of location that we've been pushing them to. You know, we just turned down one in Las Vegas because the residents there said, oh, it's a residential area. So if you're not going to do residential, then you have to do commercial. And that area, truthfully, is just all commercial. And maybe you know, 10 Sundays or 6 Sundays a year, there's a football game. But the truth is, the rest of the year, what better place?
Refresh us on the area that you turned down because it was residential. Where's that at?
The city council just turned down on West Sahara.
Okay.
Sahara and Buffalo, I think, around there.
Right.
A little farther west.
And what do you think about that? What do you think about turning it down because it's a residential area? I live right in that area. I'm all for it. So, to me, that's stupid to turn it down.
Well, you know, elected officials, you have to kind of decide what they want. And one of the things we did when we passed the law was we said local elected officials know best. So if they don't want them there, they don't have to have them there. But the reality is they are very good for an area. They really pep up a shopping center, which that was. There's 24-hour security, which helps. And there's really, it's not like there's homeless people laying around. The people that go to these places drive up in Mercedes. They don't drive up in old beat-up Mustangs. The clientele is a very upscale clientele, a lot of senior citizens. So anybody that's actually worried about a dispensary bringing down the neighborhood, I think, needs to think again.
Yeah, I don't get that at all, because there's one at Sahara and Tanea. Not that I frequent the places, but there's also one at at Rainbow and I think it's Spring Mountain. Those are residential areas as well, but we won't beat this dead horse. It'll be something we can address down the road. So another thing to get into, and we have some more stuff on the stadium here in a couple minutes, and Tick Seegerbloom is with us, one of the Clark County commissioners on Cofield and Company. We're seeing a little bit of a potential battle between the Strip Corridor resorts and the teachers union. What are your thoughts on potentially jumping our sales tax in Clark County up to 9.875 to help out the schools?
Truthfully, when I ran, I proposed a 1 cent sales tax for schools for Clark County, but we've actually passed a 0.25 cent sales tax already. So,
right.
I would, you know, I can't say I would oppose some type of a sales tax, but there's lots of other taxes that would be better. There's a business tax that's out there, a corporate income tax, tax on alcohol. So I think what the teachers basically did was they threw out a couple of taxes on gaming, a sales tax, to try to force the legislature to look at other issues that would be probably less aggressive and also don't attack our sacred cows. You know, the hotels are very powerful, so thinking they were going to raise the gaming tax is probably unrealistic.
Why is it unrealistic? We have a low rate, right? It's relatively low as compared to the
rest of the country. We have the lowest gaming tax in the country, probably in the world. And truthfully, these gaming companies go around the country begging to be able to bring their gaming there to pay twice or three times as much. But, you know, it is Nevada. They're just very important company. So if they don't want it, it doesn't happen. That's just the reality. But, again, having them at the table means that maybe they'll look somewhere else, like mining or somewhere. So it's very important to it's probably a strange way to get it to the table, but if they can get it on the ballot, they'll definitely be at the table.
Going back to the weed issue for real quick, I know that's something that you've talked a lot about, but where are we on the lounges right now?
The legislature, again, at the hotel's insistence, passed a law that said no lounges till after 2021. So we're kind of in limbo as far as being able to do anything other than the Paiutes. The Paiutes have a really fun lounge. If any of you guys haven't been there, you should go. At least see their tasting room. It's really special. But I can tell you this. I'm working with some legislators, and we're already looking to where we would go if we can remove this moratorium. in 2021. So we're taking a trip to West Hollywood. We're looking at other places. So it's inevitable. You can't sell, you know, pot to 40 or 50 million tourists and then say, by the way, there's no place you can use it, which is the current law.
What I guess as we kind of move into this new era, as a city, we're adding major league sports. We're, you know, continuing to increase in population. Like, what is the next big challenge that we face here in Clark County?
Well, the biggest one is going to be, at least from my perspective, is, you know, if we're going to grow, how we're going to grow, what direction we're going to grow, and can we keep up with, you know, growth doesn't pay for itself. So then we're going to get into schools being overcrowded. And, you know, roads being overcrowded and just our quality of life going downhill. And so is that something we want to do or not to? And if we do, can we, is there a way we can control it, or we just have to keep going free-for-all?
So let's talk about getting around town and the roads. First of all, what are we looking at early on here for plans around the stadium in terms of improving, you know, Russell and Tropicana?
Well, I'm not a super expert, but my understanding is that there's already a plan in place to redo the whole Tropicana intersection. They were going to try to have it done by the summer, but then they realized it wouldn't make it. So now it's back to the drawing boards. But the money's been allocated, and it's going to be a huge, you know, multi-year project, almost like the Project Neon. So in the meantime, it's going to be obviously difficult for everybody, but it is going to force us to redo that whole interchange. But as you know, I mean, the fact is, on Sunday afternoons, when you're heading towards California, it's bumper to bumper from here to Barstow. And having the people dump out of that stadium at the same time is going to be quite the trick.
I think this is going to be a pretty obvious question, but I'm going to throw it your way. Do you hear from constituents about the current road situation? Complaints? Not a lot of positives?
I do,
pats on the back?
But truthfully, you know, people don't complain a lot. They suck it up. Now when we have specific things, and one of the things I've noticed is, you know, we'll do like several interchanges in a row with cones everywhere, and that people do get very upset about that.
Right.
But just the general growth, it's like, you know, that's part of being in Las Vegas. You know, we're so used to it, we forget that it may not be normal.
What's your take on the HOV lane issues?
I'm assuming there's some federal reason why we have to just limit it to HOV cars 24/7. But assuming that's not, that I have no objection to trying to open it up, because if you drive along, there's nobody there. So,
right.
I mean, I'm hoping that at some point there's going to be buses and things using that to take advantage of it. But otherwise, it's criminal to, you know, spend that much money on a private lane for two cars.
Right. I mean, what's your experience driving the 15? I mean, I have to come across town over here to do these shows at Pizza Rock. We love Pizza Rock. We love Green Valley Ranch. But since I drive it so much, my observation is, like you just said, the HOV lane is not used that much. And the other big problem is the 15 has actually become more dangerous. I think I was behind the left and lane next to it. There were trucks in those lanes. I mean, it just, I don't know, it doesn't feel like the same road. I know we're growing, but it feels like there's got to be a way to make it safer.
I agree. How to do that? I'm a traffic engineer, but I think Project Neon didn't fulfill all of its goals. Let's put it that way. And then where you look at the way it connects to 95 going east, which is my district, you know, we definitely need to use some major work there. So, I mean, again, it's one of those things where Las Vegas is the way we grow. We're always, you know, behind the eight ball, and it seems like every time we build something, we did build it for 10 years before with time it was scheduled to be built. So yeah. I'd like to see us build things that actually are good for 10 years.
You're right, because 95, to loop around that side of the city certainly needs work as well. To this point, what are your thoughts on the way the NFL draft is going to be set up there in the middle of the strip and just off the strip? You like it?
Well, I'll tell you, it's going to be a major, major imposition on the residents of Las Vegas. Closing Flamingo, I think, from the I-15 down to Koval for probably 5 days, not all in a row, but for 5 straight days, it's going to be a major inconvenience. But what they promised, at least under the table, they never said it publicly, is that if we pull this off, we get the Super Bowl in 2025. And I've always said, if there's anything that Las Vegas needs, it's the Super Bowl. We'd be the perfect place. That and the Democratic Convention in 2024 will really make Las Vegas. We are so perfect for it.
What are you hearing about access for people who work on the Strip for those 3 days, especially in that area of Koval and Flamingo? Are they going to be able to get to work?
Well, they're working on that part, so we can do it. You know, we've shut down for the marathon and things like that, so we know how to do that part. It's really more the people that actually just use Flamingo to get to the freeway from both sides. It's going to be the major inconvenience. But yeah, that's something we do. It's just going to be, we've never had one this sustained. But, you know, we all know that this is our livelihood, and hopefully we'll all work together. And I apologize ahead of time because I know people are going to be mad and frustrated.
Oh, yeah.
But they claim this draft thing is a huge, huge draw and really will put us on the map. And if you tie that to having the Raiders come here, I think it's worthwhile. But it's not, I don't want to minimize it. It's going to be a major inconvenience.
Well, I mean, in the end, if the reported 400,000 people are going to be on the ground for the draft, that's a gigantic deal for Las Vegas.
Absolutely. And then the television audience and everything. It just, I didn't realize it, but according to them, it's a huge, huge international event.
Massive. By the way, how many events do you plan on going to at the new stadium? Are you interested in the Raiders? Are you interested in concerts and, I don't know, monster trucks and other big events? Are you planning on being at the stadium a lot?
I don't know. No one's offered me tickets, so I'm not sure I can take them anyway.
No one's offered you tickets. Come on. Let's go.
But I would hope to at least be at the first UNLV game and the first Raider game. And, I opposed it in the legislature because I didn't think we would spend our taxpayer money. But now that it's there, it's a huge benefit to Nevada. But my thing is I want to be at the first concert where they openly use marijuana. I think that having 60,000 people there smoking dope would be something to be worth being at.
Yes, my plans early on in the football season when I'm working are to hang out at a gentleman's club. First of all, I have to get there. Hang out at the gentleman's club and be in a lounge throwing down some edibles or smoking a little bit. Hey, one last question for you.
Okay.
Have you gotten wind of the potential battle between UNLV and the football program against the Raiders and the use of the stadium on certain Saturdays?
Yeah, I've just read in the paper. I haven't got involved in it, but I saw that the first two games the Rebels have, the Raiders are saying they can't play at that stadium, and that supposedly is going to go to the stadium board to up or down. I would just tell the stadium board, I think that's why we paid $750 million to have the Rebels play there, and if it's an inconvenience to the Raiders, so be it. I mean, that's a public stadium designed for the Rebels, and I think we need to do whatever we can do to let those two games happen at the stadium.
Well, we appreciate the time. Let's catch up soon. Thanks. That was a lot of good information.
Okay, thank you.
There you go. Tick Seegerbloom, one of the Clark County commissioners, very very much directing it all back to weed.
Oh, yeah.
But that is an important issue. And, we started talking about what's going to be around the stadium, and when you guys had a story in the paper about, hey, strip clubs may be in trouble down there, like, why? Because then that, to me, as you said early in the interview, like, that's a slippery slope. If you don't set some standards, like, this is our stadium, you don't control zoning, sorry, NFL. If there's going to be multiple dispensaries down there, and I thought Tick laid out a good argument, like, that those concerts in that area, you're gonna get incredible sales, especially on the weed side. Like, we need that revenue.
Yeah, no question. And am I wrong, or did he just break major news that everybody assumed, but he just put it out there that the Las Vegas has been promised the 2025 Super Bowl if they pull off the draft? I mean, everybody assumed that.
I wouldn't put breaking news responsibility on Tick.
Maybe feel like that's what he just did.
Maybe we'll have to go back and listen again.
I
felt like we were just kind of riffing and having a casual conversation then. But you are a newspaper guy, so maybe there's some breaking news.
I mean, I feel like that's what he said.
I was chilling. That was like an off-the-record conversation.
Oh, okay.
Oops. Oh, the rest of Vegas is listening?
Okay. I'm pretty sure that's what he said. I think we might have to listen during the break because that's kind of breaking news.
We're not going to have a chance to listen to the break. You know that's impossible.
Ari, Commodore 64. We're going to need to listen to that.
We cannot get that reel-to-reel machine that we record these shows on to back up quickly enough during the break. We'll have a little more reaction to what Tixier Bloom was saying across the board about the stadium, about some of the dispensary issues. Also, I don't know if a lot of people have been looped in on this whole sales tax thing, that there is a push, at least by one segment, the teachers union, to push our sales tax right near 10%.
Join the conversation on Twitter at Cofield & Co. You're listening to Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
So what do you think about what I was saying about the teacher story? We talked about it a little bit yesterday, the teachers union asking for 1.5% addition to the sales tax to push it to 9.875.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense on paper in general when you say the taxes everywhere else on gaming are much, much higher.
No. I'm talking about sales tax.
Oh, the sales tax?
The gaming thing, we've talked about it for 2 days. It ain't changing. But it was interesting what Tixier Bloom was saying. It doesn't seem to keep the same companies out of other states.
Yeah.
But I understand right now the volume dictates how much power they have in terms of the tax rate. No, I'm talking about sales tax that we would have to pay.
Yeah, I mean,
pushing it to near 10%.
Why don't we just keep taxing tourists on everything else, since we don't have to pay those, right? I mean, that's what everybody else says. Mm-hmm. Just keep increasing the taxes on tourists. We don't have to pay that.
It's got a 20% on the hotel.
20?
Room tax rate.
30. Why not 40?
They'll keep coming.
Who's going to stop us from 50 if we need something else? Just keep going. We don't pay that, right? It doesn't impact us. Money doesn't get taken away from other places. People don't stop coming and bring in less money. None of that happens. So why not just keep raising it? 100.
Are you 100%. Worried at all? Are you worried at all that the NFL will try to flex its muscle and get rid of strip clubs and prevent dispensaries from being around the stadium?
I mean, yeah. Specifically to that question, yes. But I'm more worried about the NFL in general, in terms of, I just feel like every time we've seen the NFL ask for anything, it's a scramble for who can, like, bow down and say yes first and say please, yes. Like, it just seems like whatever they want, not only do they get, but they get with zero resistance. And they, is there anything else we can do? Wait, you want $1 billion? Is there any way we can give you $2 billion? Like, it's just amazing that it just seems like it's headed in that direction. So when you say, Are you worried specifically that they're going to try to target the gentlemen's clubs in that area or keep dispensaries out of that area? Sure. But I think it's more just the concept of you don't just get to demand everything.
Yeah, and we're all for the Raiders being here. The stadium is going to be a big benefit to the area. It's going to be a pain in the keister figuring out the parking and the roads for a while. But the reason I keep going back to the sales tax thing is, as you were just pointing out, you know, hey, I guess we could just have the tourists pay for everything. The fact that the deal is as big as it was for $750 million, money for other stuff has to come from somewhere else.
Right.
And when people are like, we're not paying for it. Yeah, but there's after effects. The sales tax has already been jumped by 0.25%. The 1.5% is not going to go through.
No.
But you see what's happening?
Of course.
It's like, because it was $750, there was money that maybe could have gone to other areas. So you are paying for it.
Right.
Do I want to pay 10% sales tax? No. No.
But
no!
I mean, you're saying it on a kind of a different level. The simplified version is, okay, you raise $750 million from tourists. That's fine. You actually raise some from you because there's staycations, all those other things, whatever. You raise $750 from tourists. Let's just say it was all from tourists.
Right.
Okay, you could have raised that $750 million and put it somewhere else, into a monorail or into something else.
Because we already did it with another jump by putting it towards the LVCVA,
right,
and building out the convention center. But, yeah, that money could have
– so
actually, in both cases. You know, I don't think the convention center build-out would be a disaster. But those were monies that are generated and could have been put somewhere else. And,
right,
and if there's other stuff that's needed, then someone has to make up the shortfall.
Then you got to raise the sales tax they're talking about doing. And so – you could say, like, okay, well, we're only paying another 0.25%. Right, but you could have just raised the tax on tourists, and that money would have already been there. But now, since it's not there, it went somewhere else. Now you've got to find other places to generate revenue. That's how you end up paying for it.
And how anyone views that as anti-Vegas is beyond me.
No.
If you live here and you're listening, do you want to pay 10% sales tax?
Sure. Why not?
You have that much money coming in that you can Okay, yeah, sure.
Well, if the NFL asked to make it 10%, then, you know, we'll go to 12. Why not?
It's crazy. It's crazy. And it's coming fast. Driving by the stadium today, it does look cool. They most of the, what would we call it, see-through glass?
Yeah.
Right? Not tinted glass.
All glass see-through?
Most of that, you know, with the end that's facing the strip is up too.
So. Oh, yeah. It's very cool. No question. The giant, what is everybody calling, Roomba or the Death Star, whatever you want to call it, is starting to take shape.
I don't think it looks like a Roomba. Doesn't look like my Roomba. I think I got a...
You got a knockoff,
I got
didn't
an
you?
I got an aftermarket Roomba.
Okay.
It works all right, though. Boy, I've gotten lazy. Just turn that thing on. It's great. No more vacuuming.
So awesome.
Who does the vacuuming in your house? Just say no one.
Well, you have to do it. You have to figure out ways when the dogs are not around because they attack the vacuum.
Well, when is that?
Well, you got to
really
lock them.
They attack it. Oh, I would figure they'd run scared.
No. They go after it. They've broken like 7 vacuums.
Broken?
Yeah.
What do they do? Climb in it?
They attack.
As you're... Oh, they, is the wheel spinning?
They
get
caught
up in it?
And scratch and claw at it. They want to fight it.
Why don't you suck them up? Get a leg in there. They'll learn.
It's probably
do you get a
not,
little paw? You turn it off immediately. You're not going
like
to break
I like
their
them
paw.
Too
they're
much.
Tough.
I like
you
them
do,
too much.
You do like them too much. Yeah. That's a problem. All right, we're going to check in with the First Take in just a couple minutes and also get back to that UNLV game last night. Played pretty well for 30 minutes, 32 minutes, and then... They get stuck on a number offensively. They can't stop Utah State defensively. And they wind up falling in what was a close game by 15 points.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.